A big surprise for most of us. I don't know if you saw this coming.
Well, I think it's something that he's been thinking about over the summer since he resigned as Prime Minister. And I think the reason that he was slightly torn about it all is that he loved being MP for Witney. And while he was Prime Minister, he would have regular constituency days, which were jam-packed with him doing stuff in the constituency. And he loved doing his surgery. He loved going around the sea. And he enjoyed that. But I think as you heard in the clip that you just played, he feels very strongly that there's a danger that he could be a distraction. And he wants Theresa May to succeed. He wants her to make sure that Brexit works for the country. And there's a danger that in the media environment we have, that people constantly go to him and look for differences, which may be intentional or unintentional, and magnify and amplify those. And as he said, he doesn't want to be that person. He doesn't want to be the person that people go to cause disagreement or have disagreements with the government.
I think that's understandable in a way. And I suppose if you look back at other prime ministers, I mean, Edward Heath stayed till 2001, Callaghan till 1987, Harold Wilson, I can't quite remember, but it was quite a long time after he left office. And of course, Winston Churchill was in Parliament till 1965. But you're right, the media environment now is so very different. So maybe we're to blame.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't blame the media at all. You're just doing your job. You want to report the story, you want to cover it. Brexit's a massive thing. He, as a prime minister, he resigned over it. It's a huge issue. And it's perfectly legitimate for the media to ask questions and try and find people and try and get people to talk about it. He was the prime minister. He was somebody who campaigned very hard for Brexit. So perfectly legitimate for you to ask the questions. I think he just doesn't want to play that role. He doesn't want to be that person that is constantly seen as, here's something you might disagree with, or is the phrasing that you used here deliberately designed to make it look like there's a difference? We know how that can happen in the media, and I don't think he wants to be that person. I think for him, duty and loyalty and wanting the Conservative Party to succeed, wanting the Conservative Prime Minister to succeed, wanting Britain to succeed is very important to him. And he doesn't want any sense in which he's standing in the way of that or appears to be to have a gripe or a problem about that. And I think that's actually entirely laudable and a good thing.
Do you think he'll follow Sir John Major's example, where Sir John pops up maybe every 3 or 4 months and gives one interview and then disappears again, but everybody takes notice of what he says?
I think we'll have to wait and see. Obviously, we can't predict the future, but I think that what he wouldn't want to do is appear to be a running commentator or a backseat driver. So I think when there is an issue that he feels very, very strongly about, and there are lots of issues that go beyond Brexit. He feels very strongly about the National Citizen Service. He did a lot about the problems of Islamism in this country. Those are things he cares about very much. So I think you will hear him choose his moment to do it, but not in a way that is designed to cause problems for Theresa May, not in a way that is allowing people to say, well, is there a difference here or not?
What do you think he'll do outside of politics?
Well, I think I'm going to let David Cameron tell you that. And I think over the coming weeks, you'll probably hear that. I think he deserves to do it in his own time. I've an idea and a strong idea of what he wants to do, but I think I'll let him do that in his own time, and I'm sure he'll want to talk to you about it when he does.
Well, I know that he wants to write a book, as everyone does. I know you've got one coming out in October. We'll talk to you about that then. But just to finish off, I'm going to be asking my listeners what they think he will mainly be remembered for. Most prime ministers are remembered for one thing. What do you think it will be with David Cameron?
I think the big thing for David Cameron was that I write in my book, and I spoke a bit about in a couple of interviews, is that he had a dinner a couple of nights before he left Downing Street, and George Osborne called him the quiet revolutionary. He was somebody who was prepared to have a coalition government and make sure that there was economic security at a time when the country desperately needed it, to deal with the deficit, to bring in a real revolution in our education system, in our welfare system, to have gay marriage, allow that in the country. Also, I think history will also look back and say he made the Conservative Party electable again. Remember the problems that the party was having. It only had 200 seats when he became a leader of the Conservative Party. And he brought it first, became Prime Minister first in a coalition and then as a majority government. And that is no small achievement, as well as all the policy things I just listed too.